Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that great Welsh preacher, he made this quote, observation about this verse. He said this: I do not know of a better test than anyone can apply to himself or herself in this whole matter of the Christian profession than a verse like this. If this verse is to you one of the most blessed statements of the whole scripture, you can be quite certain that you are a Christian. If it is not, then you'd better examine the foundations again. Well, that is quite a statement, isn't it, from Mr. Lloyd-Jones, or Dr. Lloyd-Jones, challenging us that if this is something that really stirs us, it really inspires us, and then we can be sure that we're saved. But if not, then we need to examine the foundations further. Well, let's examine a little bit about what Jesus was actually saying. The people that Jesus was addressing in this passage understood better than us what it meant to be hungry or thirsty. In that region at that time, few were prosperous, and many at one time or another would have experienced the kind of hunger that Jesus is alluding to. Many lived in poverty, and of course they didn't have things like supermarkets or refrigerators or running water even. So they were well acquainted with going through seasons of hunger. But many of us would have experienced the kind of hunger pangs like many of them would have. To us, hunger means that sensation in our stomach that makes us stop at McDonald's for a burger and fries, although we've just had our dinner 3 hours earlier. Jesus uses these metaphors of eating and drinking as the motivating encouragement to pursue a righteous life. But what is a righteous life? What does righteousness actually mean? Righteousness in the Bible has three aspects. There is the legal, the moral, and the social. Legal righteousness is justification, which means a right standing with God, a right relationship with God. We are made right with God through our faith in Jesus Christ alone. This is something that we should hunger and thirst for. Moral righteousness is right living, righteousness of character and conduct that pleases God. Not the legalistic rule-keeping righteousness that can be so cold, but the warm, inner-driven righteousness that flows from the Spirit within us. This we should hunger and thirst for. Social righteousness seeks to bring justice and freedom from oppression and integrity into the very fabric of our human society. This too is something we should hunger and thirst for. But I want this afternoon to share three observations about this pursuit of righteousness. And you may feel they're a bit basic, but I think they're really important if we're really going to grasp this. The first is this: you have to want it. You have to want this life. No one can force anyone to eat. There is that old adage that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Now, granted, for most of us, it doesn't take much forcing to get us to eat something. And like physical food and drink, and the desire of it, Jesus says, you have to want to live this righteous life. To hunger and thirst for something means that you have an intense desire, an all-consuming desire for something or someone. When we see someone who's desperate to succeed or to achieve something, we often say, oh, they're really up for it. They really want it. They're really hungry. And they make a difference. They stand out. It's that kind of passion and drive that is needed if we're to pursue righteousness. So the first thing is we have to want it. Secondly, we actually have to do something. Appetites are not filled until you actually do something. If you are hungry, just thinking about that won't actually change it. You physically have to get up and go into the kitchen and open the fridge and get the food out and put the oven on or get the salad out, whatever it is. Or you physically have to leave your house and go to the supermarket or go to the restaurant and buy something. You have to do something. The same is true spiritually. We actually have to do something. We not only have to want it, but we actually do something. There is an action. And the action is that we seriously take time to be with God. We take time to seek his presence. We take time to seek him in prayer and Bible study. There's an action that's involved. So firstly, we have to want it. Secondly, we actually have to do something. And thirdly, we have to keep coming back for more. It'd be nice if, in some ways, that you could go to a restaurant, eat one dinner, and then you would never have to eat again. It would save a lot of money, wouldn't it? And a lot of time. We spend hours and hours and lots of money on food and time eating it. But it's not a one-off thing. It doesn't work like that, does it? It's not a magic meal that keeps us filled up for life. And it's the same spiritually. One of the clear indicators that something is wrong physically is that when we lose our appetite, we're no longer hungry. It's the same spiritually. When there is no hunger for the presence of God, it is an indicator that something is wrong spiritually. Because that hunger is so basic to human nature, it often finds fulfillment in other areas rather than in seeking God. Much as eating unhealthy junk food can dull the desire for healthy food, we too can fill our spiritual hunger with all kinds of stuff. Not necessarily just junk stuff either, or bad stuff. Sometimes it's good stuff. Good, meaning our Christian activities, our programs, our projects. But in the process of being involved in all these things, we can get tired and weary. And we can lose our hunger for God and for his presence. So we have to stay open and honest. And we have to keep coming back to him for fresh manna, for fresh bread. For those who truly desire to know God and pursue righteousness, Jesus promises them that they will be filled. But filled with what? Food? Money? A good life? A long life? A perfect family? No. A trouble-free life would be nice, but no. What then? The very presence of Jesus himself. The promise is that it will be filled with the very presence of Jesus himself. Jesus' invitation to each of us today, wherever we are, is this. That if you are truly hungry, then come to me and eat the bread of life. If you are thirsty, then come to me and drink the water of life. If you are heavy laden, then come to me and find rest for your souls. If you are guilty, come to me and be forgiven. If you are far from God, then come back home. Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. So my question to each of us this morning is this. How hungry are we? How much do you want it? And what are you prepared to do or to keep doing? My prayer is that each of us may truly hunger and thirst for righteousness and that we may experience the joy of living the Spirit-filled life. Today, may you be filled with the very presence of Jesus.